Welcome to the inaugural podcast, where we will listen to the journeys of women governance gurus, their passions, struggles, and commitment to improving corporate governance. My name is Courtney Camlett, and my co-host is Liz Dunshee.
Hi, everyone.
We are both passionate about governance and want to spotlight some of the amazing women that are also passionate about governance. Hear what has surprised them over their careers and various perspectives from different paths and industries. Our first guest is Hope Melman. She is the Chief Governance Officer for Regions Financial Corporation.
Hope, this is Liz. Thanks so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Could you tell us a little bit about your path to becoming Regions Chief Governance Officer?
Sure. So I'm an attorney, and I started in private practice years ago. And when I was in private practice, I worked on corporate governance and securities law. And I came in-house to Regions in 2006, and I continued in those practice areas at Regions as a member of the in-house legal team. I think the biggest turning point for me was after being in the law department for a while, I went over to compliance department where I was the senior compliance manager. I had a whole lot of people working for me, and I had various different areas under me, consumer compliance, wealth management compliance. And one of the things that I had to do was different from being in a law department where a lot of things are sort of theoretical, was learning from being in compliance that you have to build out programs and you have to implement them. And for me, that was really a game changer in the way I thought about how to approach things going forward. And so I really learned how to develop practical knowledge, how to build out programs, how to implement. And it wasn't just based on, you know, legal theory or the law and advising. I also had the opportunity when I was over there to learn how to really engage with other stakeholders such as regulators, which I think was helpful to me now in communicating and corresponding with, you know, our institutional shareholders. You know, learned how to make really detailed plans and how to carry them out. So when I returned to the legal department, I continually thought about and focused on raising the bar with respect to corporate governance practices and what the expectations were. So I was really no longer satisfied with, you know, just producing a proxy statement that only contained, you know, basically the legally required disclosures. And then I realized that there was a need to create a chief governance officer because as when I came back, I realized that this area had really expanded. And in some sense, it really had grown outside of what a typical corporate secretary's role is. And so I did some research and I continued to think about how to create this role and what was needed because, you know, times were changing. Shareholders' focus on corporate governance had increased tremendously. And I felt like there really needed a role that was completely dedicated to governance outside of the corporate secretary's role or the general counsel's role. And so that's what I focused on. And I decided to bring this to executive management's attention. And that's when we decided that there was this role and that a chief governance officer would signal our commitment to excellence in corporate governance.
Wow. I didn't realize you had created that role. That's very forward thinking.
Well, thank you.
That is. Has there been anything that surprised you as you've progressed in your career and developed this role?
Well, I think what surprised me was, before I developed the role, I think, you know, and particularly for women, you think if you work hard, you're smart, that things will just, you know, come to you. I think you have to take the opportunity to create roles for yourself or create areas for yourself. And I think that's something that I learned as I got older, that, you know, if you see an opportunity or you think that there's an opening, that you create this yourself and you carry forward with it. And the truth of the matter is, you know, if you do come up with these types of roles or you're forward thinking, people will embrace that. So I think that's really important. The other thing that I think that I don't know that I was surprised about this, but very appreciative that along, you know, particularly with this role, as I started trying to figure out what needed to be done, I was reading a lot about women in governance, and one in particular, Peggy Foran from Prudential. She didn't know me from anywhere. I picked up the phone and I called her, and the amount of help she gave me by talking through this, helping me think about it, was tremendous. So just, you know, having people out there who are willing to help you, willing to talk to you, other people who are passionate about governance, there are people out there, even if they don't know you. So don't be afraid to pick up the phone and call people. You know, that was one thing when we decided we were going to build out our shareholder engagement program. I picked up the phone and I just, you know, called leaders in that area, called people from Microsoft. They didn't know me from anywhere. So I think there are a lot of people out there who are willing to help you. You just have to, you know, take the initiative and not be afraid to do things.
That's great advice.
Yeah, that is really good advice. And I know Peggy's really willing to help, and the folks at Microsoft are too. And it's kind of like how you're helping us with this podcast today. So we're all helping each other. And I think that's one of the things that Courtney and I wanted to focus on in this podcast too. So Regions has been getting a ton of positive attention lately for what you've been doing for your sustainability initiatives and corporate governance practices and your disclosures, like you were saying, how you changed the proxy statement from being more than just line item disclosures, and you kind of took the things that investors were telling you and came up with actual plans to implement the promises that you're making. What sort of practical things have you done to get buy-in from the board and other executives on these types of topics? And also, what challenges have you faced in actually implementing ideas?
So I guess I would say for Regions specifically, I wouldn't, you know, the buy-in, I wouldn't say that that was a hard thing to do, because a lot depends on the company's culture, right? So we have a culture of openness and transparency, a culture of doing what is right. We also have a concept of share value, that everything we do has to benefit all of our stakeholders, shareholders, customers, associates, and our communities. So if you start with that premise, it makes it easy. But what I would advise people is that, you know, education is fundamental, and to be able to back up what you're saying with facts and data. So a lot of times I think about what, every time I try to present something or bring up a topic is, and this will date me, I'll think about Joe Friday from Dragnet and him saying, "Just the facts, ma'am." And I think you make much more of a compelling argument if you have facts to back everything up, that this is good for business, this is good for the culture, this is good for all of your stakeholders. So if you place things in facts and you have studies and facts, it's not just, you know, Hope Melman as chief governance officer saying, "Well, I think we need to do this." Well, why do you need to do this? It's coming from other sources, and I think that's very helpful. You know, looking what peers do, looking what companies who are well known for their governance do, and then data that backs up companies who are successful as far as strategy is concerned and shareholder returns, and just using, there are a lot of studies out there, there are a lot of papers out there, and using the facts. So I would, you know, my advice is, you know, whenever you try to present something, just think of Joe Friday. So for those of you who are younger than me, you may have to go back and watch a YouTube video, but
I like that.
You know, that's what I would say. So, you know, and spend your time doing that and laying that foundation, and don't be afraid to keep, you know, talking about it and talk about what, you know, report back what your shareholders are telling you. A lot of times, you know, what I'll do is just specifically tell people exactly what they said, not in my words, but in their words.
Now, that's great and very helpful. So to get additional insight about other sources, practices, as well as your peers, I know you participate in a number of industry and governance-related organizations. and currently you sit on the board of the Council of Institutional Investors. What additional perspectives have you gained from those experiences?
So what I would say is that, you know, what it has done for me is that I'm able to see matters more through the eyes of our shareholders than ever before. Because being on the board, you're really able to understand and have the depth of understanding of seeing through their eyes versus through a corporate perspective. And, you know, it gives you a different perspective than just sometimes reading voting guidelines. You know, really listening to them and hearing what they're saying. And it's also different than just having, you know, if you have a shareholder engagement call where you have 30 minutes scheduled during the summer with a shareholder, that's really helpful, but it's not the same as sitting down, you know, being on the board of directors and thinking through issues from all perspectives. One thing I also have learned too is that not all shareholders are alike. They don't agree on everything. So you have a variety of perspectives within the shareholder community. And you dig down deep. And one of the things is I sit on the policies committee, which is also very fascinating to me because that's where a lot of the real, you know, a lot of the work regarding a lot of these governance issues are debated and discussed. And you really dig down deep. I think the other thing that I've learned is I have a better feel for what's next that concerns shareholders. So you have a little bit more of that insight of what's going on, what's next. And so I think I would say, you know, in the end, everybody there, the shareholders, the corporates, the CII staff, you know, everybody is working towards a common goal of good corporate governance and ESG practices and disclosures. And so I think that's what I've learned about being involved in CII and working with the shareholders on these issues directly.
And Hope, this is Liz. Just one follow-up question to that and the question before. So when you're getting these different perspectives from shareholders and other resources and facts that you're collecting, when you present that to the board, are you sort of summarizing that to present the majority views? Are you diving into the nuances of all of these different perspectives? Or how do you handle what can sometimes be conflicting information and even what some people might say are conflicting facts?
Right. So I present everything because I think it's important to have an understanding because all our shareholders are important, right? We do present all of these issues to them and all of these viewpoints. And then I think it's up to the company to decide, you know, what's right for the company. Because you can never satisfy everybody. And so you take all of these data points in and you think about it and you debate it and then you decide what's best for the company. But it's important to be open and transparent about all of these opinions. And sometimes it's difficult because there are various opinions, but I think it's my job as the chief governance officer to be able to present all this data. It's also my job to be able to, this is how I view this. I don't know how other people view this, but you know, you have a board of directors that, you know, have responsibility for oversight and strategy, you know, oversight of strategy and oversight of what's going on at the company and, you know, to also challenge management. But who is there to challenge the board, right? So you have your shareholders who will challenge the board, but also I feel like it's my job in some sense to also challenge the directors as well, challenge their thinking, challenge their, you know, what's typical out there. And, you know, because I think it's all about when shareholders talk about diversity or company talks about diversity, there's diversity of thought. And you want this to be robust and in depth and, you know, really to get different viewpoints. And this is how it occurs.
Mm-hmm. And so along those lines, what do you think you and other women in the corporate governance field can add to the current conversation on the societal role of companies and financial institutions? That's certainly been a big topic lately.
Yeah, so I would say that, you know, there are a lot of women out there who in governance and not just in the financial services industry who have already made an impact. I mean, if you look at people like Michelle Edkins from BlackRock and Rocky Kumar from State Street and Donna Anderson from T. Rowe Price, and then people like Peggy Foran and other women who are out there who are in this role of governance have already made a significant impact, and they've moved, I would say they've moved things along on many topics, diversity, about, you know, diversity of women on the board, diversity of thought. And so I think it's, you know, our role, it shouldn't just be limited to women, but to be able to be in the forefront and not to be afraid to, you know, really think deeply about what, you know, what they can do to help bring along corporations and companies in this area. Because, again, it's all about all of your stakeholders, right? It's not just limited to shareholders, but, you know, what you do matters to your employees. What you do matters to your communities. What you do matters to your customers. Your customers in the forefront. I mean, I think, you know, it's important that a strong company that cares about society is important to all these stakeholders. So it's not just limited to investors, but it's limited to the type of customers you know, you want to attract. You want to be able to have that, the type of employees you want to, you know, attract, and what your employees are asking. I mean, people want to work for good companies, companies that care. And so I think, you know, it's incumbent upon us to keep, you know, pushing the needle a little bit forward. You should never be satisfied with, you know, complacency. You should always be thinking about what's the next thing. How can you enhance? Strive for excellence, not for mediocrity. So I think that's probably, you know, where women need to be and not to be afraid, because they do have an important role with bringing diversity of thought and a different perspective.
Thanks. That's inspiring. I like what you're saying, and I truly appreciate all that you've been doing. Obviously, you've been blazing a trail at Regions, and it helps that you're talking about that, talking with us, talking with others, and letting people know how they can take that back to their own companies.
Well, thank you. And, you know, I'm always open to speak to anybody who wants to speak to me, you know, maybe somebody starting out and, you know, want some pointers. I'm happy to do that.
Thanks,
as well.
Matt.
Well, thank you. And I'm sure someone will take you up on that. And we will definitely continue to push the needle. So thank you so much for sharing your story and your outstanding insights. And thank you to those listening to our inaugural podcast for Women Governance Gurus. Stay tuned in the next few weeks for another edition.